Good afternoon, and welcome to CMD Radio, episode number 4. I'm Azeel, here with the Google.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, guys? Got a lot of sweet stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff went down this week. I got caught up in a lot of April Fool's jokes that actually got me. I fell for two of them. Like, I fell for three of them, actually. And we got the Google here to talk about some of the ones that he got a kick out of.
I always forget about April Fool's, and then I end up, you know, falling right into the trap of it. First I'm talking about now is Google's in the toilet, how they offered free wireless internet to anyone who wanted it, but it was through your plumbing system, and it worked the way anything would work, in the sense that it started off with you getting like a whole kit in the mail like you would from your regular ISP, but instead this kit had rubber gloves in it and a spool of fiber optic cable and a sinker on one end. And you threw the sinker into your toilet and then let it go into the plumbing system. And once it got to their side, people at Google picked up the data, established a connection, and then you plugged it into, like, it looked like a Netgear router that they just plastered Google on top of it. And it was weighted so that you could lean it against your top of your toilet without it falling over when you flush. And you plugged it into the top of it and you had free wireless in your home. And I don't know, it's really funny, because at first it's on the homepage and I'm looking at this like, are you kidding me? Google's offering free wireless? I was like, this is crazy. I was like, I mean, I guess it's not too crazy because Google, you know, everything in this Google is free, so it's not that bad. But once you start reading it, it's hilarious and it's so well done. And the next thing, actually Google did it too. The other one was the Google Paper.
That's the one that got me really bad.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is sweet. I can have my papers printed out, pictures printed out off my email for free.
Like, yeah, and it explained how, like, it asked, like, it's like, do you wonder why it's free? And then Google was like, yeah, it's free because we put ads on the back of the paper in 36-point font, red and bold. So every time you print something out, you turn around, and it's going to have text-based related ads on the back of the paper. So, I don't know, the thing is, like, I'm reading these, like, what the hell is up with this, and forgetting that it's April Fool's, and then I went over onto Woot.com, which is one of my favorite sites for anything. It's a random website that has a new deal each day, and they usually have really low prices, because they buy all the bulk of stuff they didn't sell from other retailers, and they put it for really cheap, and once in a while they have a random crap bag. It's all just crap, three items in a bag, like a paper.
Usually a dollar.
Yeah, usually a dollar in a lunch bag with $5 shipping, so you get $6, and you don't know what's in it, and they don't know what they're going to send you, just random stuff. But for April Fool's, they decide to put the price at $1,001,000 with $5 shipping. And so it's pretty funny, because it says it sold out, and it said it sold 1,500 of them, and at a wage of total profit of $3,8,800,572,898.02. And the order pace is at 0.927 tenths of a second. And that was pretty funny, because I didn't think it was – I don't know. Did people really buy it? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people bought it? Or it, like – and it was like once you got to like submit page, it ended up being the $6? Or were they just – what do you think? Is there 1,500 people out there that watch Woot and somehow have $1,000,000 to throw away?
I mean, I figured that one was a joke, but I mean, I didn't realize that it was April Fool's, so I was like, oh, wow, that's funny. I thought they were doing it on a random day. I didn't realize it was April Fool's. That's why I fell for a majority of stuff. I didn't even realize it.
The one I really fell for was the we both fell for it, was the Mozilla Foundation sues Microsoft over tab browsing.
That was on Slashdot and had no hints that it was.
Yeah, well, it's not true. It's April 1st, you know, April Fool's Day, so Mozilla comes through, and they were supposedly suing Microsoft over the use of tab browsing in IE7, and it owns a patent through one of the developers, Solomon Katz, former Opera developer, which makes sense because I remember I asked you about it. I said, well, what about Opera? They use tab browsing too. That doesn't make sense that they would only go after Microsoft instead of Opera. But, I mean, in the joke, it says that the patent is owned by one of the developers of Opera, or former developer of Opera. So that means that, you know, it makes sense. And they wanted to end IE7 with tabs and then pay Mozilla, have Microsoft pay Mozilla $1.4 billion in damages. And, of course, Microsoft didn't have any response to it, but is contemplating to ship IE7 NT for no tabs. So I guess that could have gave you a hint that IE7 NT It's a joke from, you know, Windows NT or something.
It also seemed quite real because Microsoft never has an official response.
And the fact that the Firefox has had tabs before it was called Firefox, when it was called Mozilla Browser. So I mean, it's pretty reliable in the sense of...
It made sense because they did have tab browsing way before IE did, and that's one of the things I loved about it. Even though I really don't use tabs because I wind up, when I close my Firefox, I wind up closing all tabs because I just hit OK instantly. Like, yeah. So I just keep them... I still use the new Windows.
Yeah, well, you're an idiot. I love tabs. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tabs going across my screen right now to jump through each article I have in front of me. And the last one, the last April Fool website that I came across was, Americans defeat Russians in first space Quidditch match. So a little play on the Harry Potter series, and it says, a historic first base Quidditch match came to a spectacular conclusion last night as astronaut Michael Lopez caught the golden snitch to give the Americans a hard-fought victory over the Russians. The Russians used brilliant strategy, but only NASA had the T2K QMU, which is the Thunderbolt 2000 Quidditch maneuvering unit, and they're able to win it. And on this website, it shows the picture of two astronauts floating in space over a spaceship, and it looks like that guy Lopez is clutching the golden snitch in his left hand. So that's pretty funny because I don't know who knew that NASA even had a joke up their sleeve.
Yeah, but you're also forgetting another one that I fell for, which you didn't even look into, was the NVIDIA GeForce 8800 GTS/GTX recall, where they're like all NVIDIA GeForce cards were recalled due to a manufacturer defect, which causes a slight change in the way textures are displayed on the screen, but it's so slight that the average eye couldn't catch it. But the newer games, it's supposed to affect heavily, so they were recalling them and sending out new ones. And then they're offering a link where you can buy the recalled ones at cost.
I would love to get an 8800 GTX at cost. What do you think cost of that is? How much do you think they go for? Not even. I mean, how much? The only reason you spend so much money on is the research and development that went into the damn
research, the programmers.
Yeah.
Because I mean, come on, a printed circuit board. How much?
A couple fans and a DVI connector.
You can get those parts at a digital key. $5.
Yeah. Yeah, trust me. I mean, with the way the production lines, once that thing gets going, it costs pennies to make those things.
Yeah, so so I kind of got screwed on April Fools.
I know, but I mean, it was a good joke either way. I love Google, actually, going through, Google has a lot of different gags, the last ones. Last year, they introduced Google Gulp, which is a line of smart drinks that made you surf the web more efficiently. So it was like a play or a joke against all the energy drinks out there. And they had different flavors that the more you drank of it, the better you searched the web. And what was another one? The Mentalplex, which was back in 2000 on April Fool's, had searchers communicate their intentions telepathically. So it set up a little system. I'm not sure exactly how the joke was played out, but instead of having, you know, searching, you just thought of it, what you wanted, and someone else out there had it, and they thought back to you what it was.
you had to be an idiot.
Yeah, but it's so funny because you know what? I bet Google has, like, their own department set up just for new shit. And, like, if it doesn't work, they just throw it into the April Fool's bag, you know? Like, all right, well, let's think about giving free wireless to everyone, free internet to anyone in their house. All right, how are we going to do it? Well, we could throw it through the plumbing. Nah, it doesn't work. You sure? Yeah, it doesn't work. All right, throw it to the April Fool's. We'll use it in 07.
Yep.
How about Google Drinks? Google Drinks, too many people have it. All right, April Fool's 06.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I thought that was a pretty kick. To go through all the April Fool's jokes provided by anyone. And the thing is, Aziel had was originally gonna talk about one of the shows, right? One of the comments, the Mozilla tab browsing.
One of the things I was gonna talk about.
He was gonna use it on this today show as a real article.
Suing Microsoft, but I didn't know it was an April Fool's joke. I really didn't.
And I emailed him my links right before we started the show. And I mean, I shouldn't have emailed it to him because I could have let him talk about it and then came over the top and been like, "You asshole, they're all fake." what do you have up next? What are you talking about today?
Oh man, this is a big week in security flaws. Yeah.
I got a couple of them. The major one, which everyone's been talking about lately, was the Microsoft's .ani, their animated cursor buffer overflow, their Stack Overflow, which is pretty nasty. I played around with it. I couldn't really get it to run the shellcode, but it did just screw up Explorer, and that shows you that it was going to work. Vista was more prone to it than XP2 was, I believe, only because Vista, by default, shows thumbnails of anything that is a picture, such as an animated cursor or a JPEG or a GIF or a bitmap. It, by default, loads a preview. XP doesn't do it, so unless you throw that, unless you embed it in a web page and tell someone to go to it, it ain't going to affect them. But if you take that .ini file on Vista, drop it on your desktop, it's going to load the preview right there and just run it.
ANI file, right? It sounded like you said INI.
Yep.
It's ANI. Yeah, ANI. Just make sure everyone clarify for the listeners.
Yeah, I don't believe that INI text files, plain text, are really that dangerous.
Yeah, right. But it's funny because I didn't even understand what you're talking about at first with this whole exploit and the stack buffer overflow within the animated cursor object. And then you start explaining to me, and I'm like, wow, this is actually... It's pretty weird because you never think a cursor, you know, something you move around your screen all the time is actually a threat to your whole computer security.
Well, it's not the cursor itself. If you ever go to those stupid web pages in which when you hover in the web page, your cursor changes, but on the outside of the page,
right.
Those are the files that it's loading.
So, but isn't that, right? Is it the same kind of file as if I was to change my cursor in my window settings? Right. So, basically it's the same thing. A simple cursor like that changes or hovers over, like you says, is screwing your whole computer up. Didn't it affect a different program too?
Yeah, actually today, about a few hours ago, there was an exploit released for EarthenView 3.99. This someone else's software is now vulnerable due to Microsoft's lack of security in their .ani files. EarthenView 3.99. is vulnerable to this because if you go to load the malformed .ani, the specially crafted one, EarthenView loads a preview like before you start messing around with it, and then right there it's loading a preview and runs the exploit code. So thanks to Microsoft, someone else's software is now vulnerable. So I hope Microsoft compensates that company for the time they got to put into research and stopping that damn shit.
Yeah, and the thing is, when we were fooling around with trying to get this thing to work, when we heard about this little exploit, Azio sent it to me, and I can't delete it off my desktop. I don't know why. We're fooling around with the shellcode to get working, and it won't delete. So it's something's up with XP where it won't delete it if it's on your desktop or anywhere else in your computer for that reason. I got to figure that one out. Got to figure out what process it's running under. Tried safe mode already, but I don't know. It's still fine. It doesn't really do anything. It's nothing. My computer's any different, but I don't know. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a well-written exploit. We were playing around with it like before everyone even started talking about it. I mean,
yeah, and
I just saw it on Millworm, and I'm like, hey, this was fun to play around with. And then you know, lo and behold, the next day, 4 more exploits for the same file came
out. Oh yeah, it also takes a couple people to tell, and tell the right people, and they'll have something set up within hours, as we saw.
Well, actually, we're on the exploit topic, and this is a good one. We definitely got to play around with. This is the Linksys.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The Linksys vulnerability, the Linksys WAG200G, and the Linksys WRT54.
Very popular, mind you. The WRT.
I believe.
A lot of people. I have the G, the 50 WRT54G without the C. I'm not sure if it makes a difference. Probably similar enough.
I'm gonna try it, but. There's a vulnerability in various Linksys products that have been reported, which can be exploited by local users to disclose certain sensitive information. It's possible to disclose the product model, well, who cares, the web interface password, the PPOA username, the PPOA password, the SSID, and the WPA passphrase just by sending a UDP packet to port 916 that spits the shit right back to you.
Now, like, how would you send this UDP packet? Like, what is it? How is this, like, what's it going to send back to you? Is it like a little text document pops up and says, here you go. Well, what is it? How does it work?
I don't exactly know how it works. I'm going to figure it out. It doesn't say a specially crafted packet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, but
So with tools such as HPing, which is not on Windows by default. You can download it, though. HPing will allow you to ping. It's like ping in Windows, like the CMD ping, but it's different because this will allow you to specify the packet size, specify a payload, and also specify what port it pings to. It can also ping UDP ports as well. So you can tell HPing to hit port 916 of that via UDP. And I don't exactly know how it's going to work. You may have to have something listening on your local network for it to connect back to. Because when you ping something, the only thing you get is reply from, reply from. You're not going to get all the shit.
Right.
So I'm not exactly sure how to do this one, but I definitely...
It doesn't seem too hard. I mean, getting a UDP packet to respond back to you with information that it already has, shouldn't be hard. But the thing is, like, this must happen all the time. Like, is port 916 a common port? Like, I'm guessing tons of devices or tons of applications use that port. So, I mean, like, your information is probably vulnerable without you even knowing it. You know, if you're playing a game that runs on 916 or you have some type of software or some setting set up to go through 916 and you have to send UDP packets through there, if someone's sitting outside sniffing your network, they'll probably catch that data coming over.
The Linksys information might be sent back out to you. That's right. If you have a Linksys router and you have something... No. That's
what do you mean?
Possible. Never mind.
What were you going to say? Explain it. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Because if you have the Linksys router and you send a packet to port 916 of that device, another program can't be using port 916 then because the router's already using it.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So the UDP packet goes to port 916 of the Linksys, not of...
Yes, not...
But
if the person forgot to set up port forwarding on their Linksys and you send a packet to their external IP, I wonder if the router will spit back the information to you remotely.
Oh, because it doesn't know where it's going?
Yeah, because it doesn't know where it's going. It has to go into the router first and then get forwarded to where...
That's a good... We should figure this...
Bar, comes back over definitely internet, you can have someone's WPA passphrase, and WPA is supposed to be secure... Maybe the protocol itself is, but it ain't secure if Linksys is throwing the shit back.
Yeah, that's... I really want to look into this. I got to figure out how to work this. I'm going to look more into that because I want to see if I could... I mean, I don't have WPA set up, but I definitely could. And I want to figure that out.
Well, you don't need to because no one outside your house, no one upstairs can even get...
Oh, yeah. I'm only deep in my basement, and I have Mac filtering on, so I don't have to worry about any of that. You know, if you want to connect to my network, go ahead. I don't know. Whatever. Have fun. I don't care. What else we got? Any more exploits in the news? Anything else coming up?
Not an exploit, but something that you found pretty interesting.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah.
And he got a kick out of it.
It's funny. It's the Skype thing you're talking about, the Skype send file? Yeah.
Yep.
A while back, I was sending a file to someone through Skype, and I had like three files at once. I wanted to send them all three files, and it opened three dialog boxes to send the file. So I tried it with like 300. You know, files, made 300 random text documents and hit open, and all the windows came up for accepting a file transfer. All of them, all 300. And then Skype stops you at like 150 or something because it says too many connections at once. But 150 connections is a lot, especially if you're in a Skype cast and you're the host and you're getting all these connections, the voice goes done.
Yeah, it'll knock it out it'll break it up on a five person conference, yeah. But if you're in a cast and you're hosting with 20 people, it'll knock you right off the cast, and then the cast is going to be down, and they got to relaunch it again.
Definitely.
Now, this problem can easily be fixed, not by yourself, but Skype, why the hell? There's no need to send 150 files at once. They need to cap that.
One at a time.
Not allow
put,
you to send...
Put it in a RAR if you really need to send that many files.
Exactly. There's no need to send 150 files at the same time. Because not only is that slowing down the whole network as a whole, but it also you can knock people offline with it. What the hell?
Yeah, and this is no prior knowledge for, you know, writing software. I don't know any languages. You don't have to be, you know, to write scripts or anything like that. Just go into Skype, try it out, find a person. You have to be a friend with this person. Then you have to be friends because you can't file send to someone you don't know. So become friends with them. Most people accept anyone on Skype, and just open up and flood it and see what happens. Now, if you're just doing one person to one person, it's nothing but going to be a nuisance by hitting OK 1,000 times. But if you
if you launch yourself a bot.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. If you do something, a big attack against someone, they're dead. And, I mean, it's nothing too serious. You just get kicked off Skype. It's not going to really affect you any other way. But if you do get the only problem is if you highlight all these files and send them to the person, you get the same response they do, which is all the dialog box, because it opens up them on your side too. So it's a little, it's fun to fool around with, but it puts both of you in an annoying position. And if you try using Alt-F4 to take all of them off, which will work if you just keep slamming Alt-F4, it'll go through all the dialog boxes and close them. But it will still show up as a Skype event in Skype. So let's say I try sending Azeel 200 text files. It'll show up 200 text files, but instead I hit Alt-F4. Now, when he logs back into Skype, all his events are going to become active again and send right back to him. It's just going to show up all again. So that's not too bad. I mean,
it's like a denial of service. You never get back on.
Right. What I'd have to do is on my side, I have to hit OK instead of close on each of the requests. Because if you hit OK, it goes from an active transfer to, I guess, a canceled or, inactive transfer. So fool around with it. It's fun. I got a kick out of it when I heard someone say, oh, yeah, my friend did this to me. I don't know how he did it. And I'm like, it's not too hard. All you do is highlight some files.
Now, if you're running Linux Skype, which is a lower version than the Windows Skype, like I was. I have Backtrack installed as my main OS. Not even running live, I use it as my main OS. But he sent that to me, and it just straight up wiped out my whole OS. Not only did it freeze Skype, but it froze the kernel, too. And then I had to reboot, and then it's yelling, saying that I got to run a check disk and this and that. You know, it was just a real pain. And then I get back on, I go to log back in, and all those events are still pending. So he's knocking me off over and over and over.
Yeah, and then he's yelling at me, what are you doing? Stop sending it to me. Relax, I'm hitting okay. I got a lot to go through.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. But it's definitely fun to play around with. And you could definitely write, because Skype is open. That's not open source per se, but they have an API that you can write your own plugins for it and stuff, and hey, it looks like it's easy to use. You can go on Skype's website or development.skype.com or something. I don't know exactly what it is, but you can go to play with the API, and you can probably write a script that'll do this automatically and stuff. I think it'd be fun is if you have a do not disturb mode. I want the plugin to, whenever you're on Do Not Disturb and someone disturbs you anyway, even though they see the giant Do Not Enter sign on your name, it'll automatically launch that attack again.
Oh, once it sees Do Not Disturb?
Yeah, and then someone messages you, it sends it back. You know, it sends one thing that says, I told you not to disturb me.
So I that would be good. Like, more of a self-defense system because, I mean, there's plenty of times people message you or try calling you when you have the Do Not Disturb on. Like, I told you, there's a reason for this. Just flood them.
If you're away, you can run away. If you're on Do Not Disturb, dude, that is like having a Do Not Disturb sign on your hotel room. That means shit is going
yeah,
down.
Yeah, but you know, when you're in a hotel room, all you do is run up the hallway and take all of them off. That's what anyone ever does.
Yeah, but you can't.
Just blah, 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 blah. They collect them, and then watch the maid go into the room each time.
Something gets railed mid-walking.
All because of Skype. All right, well, that's that for the exploit edition of the show. Last week I explained I was going to talk about HDCP. It's a little different than your exploits, and it's not in that category. It's more so just talking about the new technologies, even though HDCP is not new at all. It's been around since about 02, 03, so it makes it close to 4 to 5 years old. And I, myself, am more into the new technology that's on the market, the latest, headphones, the nicest LCD you can buy for under $1,000, the best quality, over-the-air HD content, where Azeel is more into, like, well, I made this exploit yesterday, and I'll show it to you. Like, it's fun and everything, but we both have our different our strengths and our interests and our likes. And that's what we're going to explain today.
And weaknesses.
Yeah, we definitely have weaknesses. Now, HDCP is High Bandwidth Digital Content Protection. Now, it's used with Blu-ray and HD DVD, along with any HD content sent over through your satellite TV, through your cable company, through Fios, any of that, HDCP is used. Even DVD players and some DVDs use it also. It's a form of DRM, so not too fond of it in that sense, developed by Intel, and it's to control digital audio and video content as it travels across DVI or HDMI connections, because those connections are both digital, so they can have encryption attached compared to analog counterparts like Component, where it is HD, but it's analog HD. More of a, that sounds like an oxymoron, so you can't have HDCP over that. But this is where it gets a little fuzzy. I recently saw HDCP graphic cards out there, the 8800, 7900 from NVIDIA, the GTs and GTXs. They all say HDCP certified along with some ATIs, and I just started seeing it, and my card is a 7900 GT, and I don't have it on mine, so I was thinking to myself, am I allowed to view my computer on an HD screen that has its HDCP DRM attached to it? And the answer is no. That's what I was kind of thrown off about. If you don't have, if you have an HD CP monitor, you know, you bought a brand new LCD or however it works, and you try to connect a non-HDC connection, it's going to be flagged, and it'll downsample it to 960 by 540. Or it might not show it at all. So that's where you got to watch, because if you have some, if you have a Blu-ray burner in your, or Blu-ray in your computer, and you want to throw it to your screen, your TV, and your output isn't HDCP compliant, it's going to either lower the quality, make it look fuzzy and crappy, or you're going to have a blank screen that has an error message. So, yeah, it is kind of weird, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be too much of a problem after, you know, a while, because reading old articles, they're talking about how everything will be HDCP by 07, and we're at 07, so I'm just waiting for everything to show up, and it is. So my advice to anyone is, if you're going to get an LCD, if you're going to figure out what kind of graphics card to get, go for the HDCP, but make sure whatever you buy that you're going to use with it is also HDCP, so you don't get that mix-up, because the last thing I want to do is, you know, find out I have to use VGA with my 42-inch LCD or something. That's just crap. But I want to talk about it because for the longest time I was so confused about what this is. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it higher quality, high-definition content? Is it lower quality? And I figured I'd just explain it to everyone because I really needed someone to explain it to me at first when I had no clue what it was.
Yeah, I never heard that term.
Yeah, it's surprising. Right. It's been around for years, and I haven't heard of it. I mean, again, HD content has only been popular for, you know, for a little bit, and I don't know. It was just bothering me that I couldn't figure out exactly what it was. It seemed pretty sketchy.
So I'm assuming now it's becoming big.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. If you don't have all the LCDs are HDCP compliant, so you don't really have to worry about that. It was, you know, in the beginning when you only had like two HD channels from your cable provider, and you had a non-HDC compliant TV, you wouldn't be able to watch it. So it doesn't really matter now, but it's still interesting just in case your your computer is not, and your TV is, and you want to be able to view the files back and forth, or you want to be able to view your desktop on your screen. Definitely something to remember or look into before going any further.
I wonder if anyone out there has ever heard of this phone, this FON.com site, which
where do you find that?
It's some kind of Spanish thing trying to promote free Wi-Fi or one another. But me and the Google both got promotional codes from someone, which we won't mention, that after you entered the promo code, the wireless router itself became $0. $0, zero shipping, checkout, zero.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, let's do it. And it turns out it's only supposed to be limit one per address, but someone else who we won't mention had figured out that it's actually based on your email address, not your shipping address. Nice algorithm of search to try and stop resends. But we know someone who actually got 70 of these. I myself ordered 4. We'll see if they actually come in the mail.
I ordered like 20 or so.
Yeah, so we'll see if these free routers come. And apparently someone else we talked to were playing with it, and you can actually reflash it with the Linksys firmware. So you can take this crappy router that they want you to make your home a free hotspot for anyone and just
spread yourself onto...
Flash it with Linksys and use it for yourself. Because, like, in the agreement, it was like, you are agreeing to set this up and allow anyone to use it, and no one's going to follow that. I want... Free router?
Exactly. Free router? Give me it. Yeah, it said, like, 3 weeks to wait on shipping, so in a couple more episodes, we'll get back to you, say if we got any free FON or FON. How do you want to say that? Phone? FON?
I don't know, but the website has, it's in English.
It has horrible
the stuff is in Spanish, and it's horrible.
Yeah, and there's error messages that are don't even make sense. Like, I forgot to put my state in, and it came back like system error. All right?
What's the error? It didn't say, you know, hey, you forgot to mark this field. It just said system error, as if the whole system went down because you didn't put your state in.
Ah, crash. We don't know what state you're in.
Yeah, so, I don't know. The site seems kind of fishy.
But whatever. It's free, maybe, so give it a shot.
Maybe they just got my web. Maybe they just got my name to ship me.
Yeah, right. That's the whole idea of it.
I don't know. I don't care. If that's free on it, I'm.
Yeah,
there.
Definitely. Oh, you know what I heard? I was reading through some Slash that stuff a couple days ago. Mexico is giving away an Xbox, regular Xbox, for anyone who turns in their gun.
What? They should do that in. I'm not gonna say.
Yeah, imagine that. Like, that's bad if you're able to give away game systems for the amount of guns you have in your city or in your country. That's horrible. The thing is, though, that doesn't make sense. Because if I was a Mexican and I was had any brain at all, you know, I would just get the crappiest gun I could find, give it to them, get an Xbox, sell the Xbox, and buy a better gun.
Or trade in all your guns. Even your good ones, and buy a friggin', like...
And get a really... get a nice Terminator, yeah, something big, you know. Go black market in U.S. military and get some nice weapons.
Oh, my God.
We're not promoting that, by the way. Don't go to Mexico and trade your gun in for some Xboxes. We don't want anyone getting hurt over it.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I just thought it was pretty cute that Mexico's trying to fight their gun crime with Xboxes. Xbox is old, too. What are they thinking? It's not 360. It's just that...
Turn in your gun and get a Nintendo.
The new Atari is available.
Yeah, right. You didn't read that April Fool's.
Yeah, no, I don't... Oh, you know what? What if it is an April Fool's joke? I should look that up real quick. I think it was Slashdot. Let me search that. Mexico.
Tell me about it on April Fool's. Oh, who's the idiot?
I don't think I did, but no. Was it yesterday? To give. It might have been. It might have been to give guns.
That doesn't even sound plausible.
Let's see. Well, I got a. It was. No, it was Friday, March 30th. So.
Okay. Well. So it's real?
Yes, that's real.
That's even more funny.
It was from, where did I get it, the original one from? Oh, from techdirt.com, and that was linked off of Engadget.
And that wasn't 100%.
Oh, no, they even have a picture. They have a picture of, like, oh, yeah, someone has photoshopped a picture of Mexican police standing on a sidewalk with, like, Xboxes piled up next to them.
Are you sure the whole thing's not a joke anyway, just because they thought they wanted to be funny?
Yeah, it was... That it appears the newly elected mayor is trying desperately to restore order in the notorious inner city barrio of Tepito. But rather than raiding gang hangouts and throwing them on the slammer, the Mexican government is looking to reward them. In a presumably last-ditch effort to curb gunfighting, officials are offering up Xboxes. That's pretty... To give up the high-cow weapons such as a machine... Oh, wait! It's not just a regular gun. It says who are offering to give up high caliber weapons such as a machine gun. Oh, right. Oh, this is what they're give up computers that are worth $770 to anyone who's willing to give like a machine gun. But if you're just going to give up a regular gun, you'll get an Xbox. So that's what the whole story was.
Okay, so then if you already have your own computer, turn in your handgun. You got an Xbox, and you still have.
Yeah, that's not bad. You know, someone tries to steal your Xbox, you don't want your machine gun.
Yeah, so that was a interesting little discussion there.
That was it. I explained everything I wanted to talk about. I thought it was something. That was going to bother me because I had something left.
Well,
oh, wait.
For next show.
Here it was. I found it. It was about the Pirate Bay. And the Swedish Budsem of Justice, I don't know what that means, it's some government part of Sweden, has finished the investigation of the Pirate Bay raid, where close to 200 servers were confiscated. Just a fragment of those were actually Pirate Bays. And this led to both the police and prosecutor being charged with official misconduct. But the judges dropped the case. In the report published by the Swedish Justice, he concludes that the judges were right, but there is also some very interesting information about how the MPA, the IFPI, and the American Embassy tried to push the Swedish Minister of Justice and Security, Secretary of State, into influencing the police and the prosecutor to act upon the Pirate Bay. So it's interesting. It seems like an up-in-the-air battle. Because I forgot that they were still being raided. I remember when that happened. I mean, I love the Pirate Bay. They're a pretty good public torrent server, but it's even funnier to read their emails, the ones that like Microsoft sends them to take off their products. If you ever get a chance to, go to the Pirate Bay and then click legal threats on the bottom, and you get to read all. They don't even care. Like if Microsoft sends them like take off XP 2000 or XP Pro or something, they'll put that in the legal argument and then tell them that they'll send an email back saying go fuck yourself. We really don't give a shit. Like, it's awesome.
Whether or not they actually do that's another story. And another thing is, stay off the Pirate Bay as your ISP. The Pirate Bay is being watched by the NPA, and so is
yeah, they put up the dummy torrents.
I work for a cable company, and we get notices from the MPAA stating that one of our people, is downloading stuff off the Pirate Bay.
Yeah, that's
because apparently someone from the
that's
MPAA,
another thing I want to talk about was the fact that a lot of people wonder how is peer-to-peer sharing ever going to die? The way they're going to fight it and combating it is through the ISPs, because it's going to be the local law enforcement and the state and federal ones that are going to be pressuring the ISP, with not necessarily legal threats, but just saying, we know they're downloading it from you. If you don't act upon this, you're going to be in trouble. So for the ISP to get in their own safe zone, they're going to, of course, go right to you, because it's illegal, right? Am I saying this right? It's illegal for the MPAA just to go to you directly. They just can't tell you, is it? Is that legal for them just to?
If you're hosting it, right?
But what if you're downloading it? Is that if you're a peer, not a seeder?
I don't know. I mean, I think I've read stories of people getting nailed directly.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's definitely where it's going to go. So if you can get on some private servers, that have blacklisted ISPs, and that understand.
They're
definitely not foolproof, because anyone can get onto a private server if they really wanted to and host a file and then claim that you downloaded it illegally. But I remember I saw that article and I wanted to bring it up because it talks about the fighting combat between peer-to-peer sharing and how it's illegal, but it's not illegal, and some things are, some things aren't. I think that's it. I think we're good. I'll close off for today. What do you say? All right.
Yeah. We're done. We didn't have that much. Sorry for the shortness of the episode, but
yeah. How long has it been? It's been 40 minutes. So it's not too bad. Maybe next week we'll come back some more stuff. I gotta find some more original stuff. Talk about my own experiences. Stuff of these articles. Until next week. I'm the Google.
And I'm Aziel. Oh, and I just want to say one more thing. I want to thank you for the people out there who are in support and do realize that we.
Yes.
Are at the beginning.
It's very important to us. The feedback is great. I'm listening to everyone talk and all the comments on forums and whatnot, and I'm definitely hoping to get better at this. So thanks again, guys.
All right,
bye.
Good night.